Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when I was a kid, I collected baseball cards. And I was really into it and had a pretty good collection and some cards that were worth some money. But the prize of my collection was this: an autographed picture of Mark McGwire from his first season in the major leagues. Mark McGwire was one of the greatest home run hitters in baseball history. At one point, he held the record for most home runs in a season. And you see, the thing was, Mark McGwire had stopped signing autographs like this. So this picture had become pretty rare. You couldn't just go out and get something very easily like this anymore. So at one point, I took it to a memorabilia dealer during the height of McGwire's fame, and he told me that this picture would sell for around $1,000. And so I'm thinking, man, this is only going to get more and more valuable. He is going to retire. You see where this is going already. He's going to retire and then go into the Hall of Fame, and at some point when he dies, this thing could be worth a lot of money. And then it sounds like you know what happened after that. It was discovered that Mark McGwire used steroids. All of his accomplishments, all of the records he set were attained by cheating. And this picture became totally worthless. I could have made $1,000 off of it if I had sold it then. But instead I held on to it, tucked it away, didn't do anything with it, and it is not worth anything. Jesus talks about salt and light. And a lot of times we can get caught up in trying to figure out exactly what he means here when he compares us to salt and says, if salt has lost its saltiness, then how can its saltiness be restored? Yeah, I must have spent around an hour this past week studying and reading about salt, trying to figure out if salt can in fact go bad and lose its saltiness. It can, but only certain kinds of salt from certain places. But the point that Jesus is making here is that salt and light serve a purpose. They're meant to be used. If you don't do anything with salt, what good is it? If you take your light and hide it under a basket, what good is it? It's like baseball cards. They're not worth anything until you actually do something with them. And that's how it is with faith. You can know about God and scripture and theology and doctrine and spiritual practices, but faith is not just about what you know or believe. It's about using what you believe, living it out, putting it into action and making it useful. Faith is meant to be used. And if it's not used, then what is it really worth? One of our kids likes to eat salt just by itself. And I will catch unnamed child every now and then, with just a little bit of salt on their plate at dinner, dipping their finger into it and putting it right onto their tongue. And I have to stop them and say, whoa, 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 you don't eat salt by itself. It is meant to go on something else. And that's one of the things Jesus is getting at here too. It's not just that salt is meant to be used. It is meant to be used with something else. You don't light a lamp in your house just for the sake of lighting it, using it, right? You don't, like the middle of the day, you just go turn your lamp on when you don't need it. It is meant to help us see something else. Salt and light are not for their own sake, but for the sake of how they help something else. And again, that's how it is with faith. Faith does not exist for its own sake. We don't have faith just so, you know, we can have faith and we can believe and feel good about that. It is meant to be used. And it is meant to be used to help something, someone else. Christoph Blumhardt was a German Lutheran theologian around the time of World War I, and he once wrote that religious knowledge by itself is of no value. People should learn how to be truly active, especially with their neighbors, and see to it that all have what they need to live a fruitful life. That is what our faith is for. Salt is meant to be used for the benefit of food. Light is meant to be used for the benefit of seeing. Faith is meant to be used for the benefit of others, so that all can see and know God, live in harmony with God and with their neighbor, and have what they need to live a fruitful life. Our faith, what we do and talk about here, is not meant to be just for us. It is meant to be shared with the world, to be lived out in the world. So what does it look like for us to be salt and light in the world? And this is what Isaiah gets into. Isaiah, this chapter in Isaiah 58, this was written during a time of deep uncertainty for Israel. The Babylonians had invaded Israel, had destroyed their cities, destroyed the temple where the presence of God dwelled. And they had taken the people of Israel and shipped them off to go live in foreign lands. And so the people of Israel are crying out to God. They're saying, how could you let this happen to us? When are you going to help us? We've been doing all the right things. We've been following your law, your commandments, doing all the things that you told us to do. We've been worshiping the right way. We've been following all these ceremonial procedures and rituals that you taught us. We've been fasting. We've been doing all these things, but it's like you don't even notice us. And what God says to them is, yeah, you're doing all the right things, but you're doing them for yourselves. You fast and you do all these rituals, but then you go and fight with your neighbor or mistreat them and oppress them. You let people go hungry. You don't take care of the poor. You're doing all these things for your own sake, not the sake of others. You have salt, but you're not being salt. You have light, but you're not being light. You have these things, but you're not using them for the benefit of others. So what are they really worth? It would be like if you came here today and you sing the songs and pray the prayers and you hear the word of God. And then when it's all done, you go out and you get in your car to drive home, but someone pulls out right in front of you in the parking lot. So you slam on your horn and you give them the finger. You've done all the right things in here, but have they made you more compassionate, more loving out there? This is essentially the same criticism that Jesus has of the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, all throughout the Gospels. They know the law, they know the rituals, they know all the right things to do, and they do them. You know, they keep the law. We've come to view the Pharisees as kind of the unfaithful bad guys over the years because they're always going at it with Jesus. They're kind of positioned as the adversary with Jesus. But in Jesus' time, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the height of faithfulness, models of faithfulness for the Jewish people. Their whole purpose was to keep God's law and teach others to do the same. So when Jesus says here, your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the people around him would have heard that and been like, whoa, exceed them? There's no one more righteous than the Pharisees. The problem with the Pharisees wasn't that they didn't keep the law. They did. It's that they kept the law for the sake of keeping the law. It didn't make them more compassionate, more loving. So God says through Isaiah, yeah, you fast for the sake of fasting, because that's what you're supposed to do. But I want your fasting to lead you to loose the bonds of injustice and to let the oppressed go free. I want it to lead you to share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless into your homes. Clothe the naked. Satisfy the needs of the afflicted. To remove the yoke from among you. The pointing of finger and the speaking of evil. If you do that, then your light shall rise in the darkness and break forth like the dawn, and healing shall spring up quickly. Did you hear that? If you fight injustice and oppression and care for those who are hungry and homeless and poor and afflicted, if you stop pointing fingers and speaking evil and start extending hands and speaking out of love, then your light will shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. That is what it looks like to be salt and light in the world. It's not just having faith for the sake of having faith. It's using our faith in ways that give others what they need to have a fruitful life. It's not just worshiping, singing, praying, sharing communion. It's letting the things that we do here lead us to deeper compassion and love and engagement with the world around us. How does healing spring up in this time of deep uncertainty for our world? Not just by having faith, but by using it in ways that bring forth justice and compassion and kindness and love. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say, I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. He says, we are. So while we are calling out to God, asking, why don't you do something? Perhaps God is asking us, why don't you? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give you thanks for the light that has shone into this world and our lives through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the light that shines forth from us as we take this good news and make it a part of our lives. Help us to be salt and light in the world, to use our faith for the benefit of others so that all might have what they need to live a fruitful life. We have seen how to do this in Jesus Christ. Help us to live a life that keeps its saltiness and that shines forth light so that all may see you and give thanks to your glory in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.